The Student Ministry Podcast you're about to hear is a sermon preached by Brother Kenny Baldwin at the 2010 West Coast Baptist Youth Conference. Brother Baldwin serves as the youth pastor of the Crossroads Baptist Church in Bailey's Crossroads, Virginia, and we hope this message is a blessing to you. For more sermon resources, please visit preaching.lancasterbaptist.org.
If you have your Bibles tonight, I want you to take them and turn to the book of Exodus, chapter number 32. The book of Exodus, chapter number 32. The Bible says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said to them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings that were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto. And said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Now, Lord, we do thank you for the wonderful privilege to serve a God who's the God of all gods, Lord of all lords. We heard last night that you are above all, you're aware of all, you're able to do all. God, when we believe that, it changes the way that we behave. And Father, I do pray, God, that we would listen to your word tonight. We would be humbly before thy presence tonight, recognizing who you are. Lord, I do pray, God, you take me as your vessel, that you'd cleanse me of sin, that you'd empty me of self. Lord, I do pray you fill me with your spirit. I recognize tonight that you do not need me, but that I certainly need you. Would you hide me behind the cross of Christ? Lord, would you look at this large crowd? And in the collective crowd, would you see every individual need and speak to every heart? Bind Satan, put a hedge of protection about this place, that in no way he'd hinder the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I do pray, God, that when all is said and done, we give you the praise and honor and glory that's due your holy name. And that's that you bless my family while I'm gone. In Jesus' name. This morning, Brother Schmidt alluded to the fact and spoke a little while on the fact that the nation of Israel was God's chosen people. I'm reminded the Bible tells us that they did not choose God, but God chose them. They were chosen to be a light to the entire world. God chose Israel to shine forth to the entire world that there is a God whose name is Jehovah. We find that in the Word of God, the nation of Israel found themselves in the land of Egypt for over 400 years, and they begin to cry unto God. Egypt was not an easy place to live. There they were under the taskmasters. They were in bondage. They were not treated as they should have been treated. They cried unto God, and it's a wonder that the response of God was to raise up a man. I'm always reminded, when we get together as human beings, when we want to get something done, we raise up a committee. When God wants to get something done, he raises up a man. And it's amazing that God, without the help of OnStar, MapQuest, or navigation, found Moses on the backside of the desert in the will of God, doing what he was supposed to do in anonymity, and said, Son, I'm going to take you in the land of Egypt to a man called Pharaoh, and with the grace and the glory of God, you're going to tell him to let my people go. And guess what? Shazam, Gomer Pyle said, it's going to happen, amen. Moses was raised up by God for a purpose. He went into the land of Egypt and said just what God said. Pharaoh, God said, let my people go. Moses felt like he was inadequate. He felt like he wasn't eloquent. He sensed all his insufficiencies and his inabilities. But God reminded him, Moses, you're not going to get it done. I'm going to get it done. And when they ask you who it was that sent you, you tell them, I am that I am. I am what? No, I am, period. Amen. And I'm so glad that we're able to accomplish the work of God, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. Of course, we know 10 plagues later, here's Moses and Israel walking out of Egypt across the Red Sea on dry ground. By the way, dry ground, amen. Not mushy ground, not wet ground, but dry ground. And of course, that same army and Pharaoh that are pursuing them, of course, get caught up in that same Red Sea. And of course, the Red Sea is closed up upon them and they drown. And a great victory is wrought. Here at the time of our text in Exodus chapter 32, they're leaving Egypt and they're headed to Canaan. God has delivered them. God is taking care of them. They're marching on. At the time of our text, Moses, the servant of God, has gone up in the mountain to hear from God. But the Bible says in chapter 32 that Moses delayed his coming. In other words, he didn't come back as quickly as they thought he would or he should. While Moses was in the mountain, the people were at the bottom of the mountain doing what I call acting a fool. Aaron says to them, break off your earrings, yours, your sons, your daughters, all of them, let's break them off, and we're going to make us a golden calf. And not only are we going to make this calf, but we're going to worship this calf, and we're going to credit this calf with the things that only God has done. That's acting a fool. This is what they're doing. They're dancing around. They're worshiping this calf, and they're offering all kinds of offerings to him, and they're eating and they're drinking and they're playing. They're partying, if you would. Now, but you gotta understand, meanwhile, here's Moses. Moses is the man of God. Moses is the servant of God. Moses is in the will of God. Moses is doing the work of God. And while the people of God are at the bottom of the mountain acting a fool, Moses is in having a great time with Almighty God. We find here in our passage that in the midst of all of this that Moses was enjoying, God said to him, Moses, you got to leave. You can't stay up here. As much as you're enjoying and you're excited and you're experiencing a wonder with me that you cannot experience anywhere else, down at the bottom of the mountain, there's a mess, and son, there's a mess, and you have to do something about it. So Moses left the mountain and came down off the mountain and took a stand for God and made a difference for God. And made an impact on people for God because he realized it was time to come down off the mountain. I couldn't help but come out on this platform tonight. You know, as many times as I've preached, as many places as I've been, I've still, Brother Kurt, never gotten over the thrill of seeing young people like this. It still does something to my heart to see young men sing and young ladies stand up here dressed modestly, singing about the things of God and excited about serving God. It still does something to me to see an auditorium. I asked Dr. Chappell a few moments ago, how many people are in here? And he said, maybe somewhere around 2,500 people. Excuse me, I've never gotten accustomed to walking into an auditorium on a Thursday night where teens could be in the mall at the amusement park partying, playing PlayStation or doing something else, but somehow, someway, they've agreed to show up in the house of God. That still tickles my fancy. It still does something to me more than the NBA finals and the Super Bowl and this and that and the other. It still turned me on to come to something like this. Oh yeah, amen, it does. Sure does. But I'll tell you something. We better understand something this week. We understand the urgency of the hour. Because you know what? It's very, very, very easy to get to a meeting like this and enjoy the mountaintop experience. It's easy to come to a conference like this and enjoy the preaching and enjoy the rally and enjoy the invitation and enjoy the songs and enjoy the coming together. But can I tell you that the scope and the real crux of the Christian life is not what happens in these couple days in this youth conference. The scope of the Christian life is out there in a lost and dying world of over 6.7 billion people that majority, as we speak, don't know the true meaning of the Lord Jesus Christ and how to go to heaven. And you know what God is looking for? He's looking for boys and girls this next couple of days that'll understand, I'm enjoying God, I'm serving God, I'm involved in the work of God, I'm privy to the experiences of God, but it's about time that I left my comfort zone. It's about time that I abandoned my status quo. It's about time that I busted out of the seams of familiarity and everybody else is doing it, and the mundane lackadaisical teenage Christian life, and it's about time I recognize, meanwhile in a lost and dying world, they're acting a fool, they're living for the devil, and they're headed to a Christless eternity in a place called hell. And I'm pleading with you tonight, young people, to realize that it's about time that somebody came down off the mountain. Somebody got a burden. Somebody got some urgency. What breaks my heart about the average youth group is the apathy that seems to characterize teenagers today. We're so used to God. We're so accustomed to church. We just go in as we were and leave just the same way, you know, and we just read our Bible like it's just another thing, and we sing the songs like we've sung them all over before. But you know what? It's about time somebody realized that there's a world that God cares about, and there's a Jesus that died for that lost and dying world. And it's about time some boy or some girl said, I'm not going to sit around and enjoy God all by myself. It's about time I landed in a lost and dying world and got some urgency, got some fire, got some get up and go for the work of God. It's about time somebody came down off the mountain. My question is, will it be you? Hey Moses, get thee down. God is saying to some of you, it's about time you impact someone. It's about time you made a difference in someone's life. Listen to me. If we were to combine all of the knowledge and all the information that's in the minds of our youth group, I think we'd be overwhelmed with the magnitude and the enormity of information and data that we know about God. But my friend, my question to you tonight is, what good does it do to know all that stuff if we're not doing anything with it? So tonight, for a few moments, somebody has got to come down off the mountain. Think with me tonight. Number one, it's got to be someone who's been in God's presence. I know this is deep, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. You can't come down off the mountain unless you've been up in the mountain. Could you say amen to that? And you know what the problem is? The problem is everybody that's trying to help young people are people that haven't been with God. Excuse me, could I tell you tonight, we don't need another Kobe Bryant. We don't need another LeBron James. We don't need another Britney Spears. We don't need another Beyonce. We don't need another Tiger Woods. We don't need another philanthropist. We don't need another millionaire. We don't need another flashy icon of materialism. Hey, we've got enough. We don't need another American Idol. We don't need another Miss America. We don't need another beauty pageant. We don't need another computer troubleshooter. We don't need another somebody that's just doing something that everybody else. We got enough of those. I'll tell you what the world needs. The world needs somebody who's gotten under the stout where the glory comes out. Somebody that's been with God. Somebody that knows him for himself. Not a mama called or daddy called or a preacher called, but a God called boy or girl that says, I'm leaving the mountain because I've been having a good time up in the mountain. Amen. I feel a preaching storm coming on right about now. Listen. It's not hard to find good kids. It's not hard to find, but it's hard to find kids who've been in the mountain. Oh, we got youth groups full of kids who are girls who aren't pregnant and boys who aren't messing around and kids who aren't strung out on drugs and kids who dress pretty modestly and they don't do what the average teenager does. But I'm talking about somebody who's been up in the mountain, who's been with God. You know why Moses was a candidate? You know why Moses was qualified to go down to the bottom of the mountain and tell the people what God had said? Because he had been up in them. Listen to me. There's some things that you get in the mountain that Walmart doesn't sell, that eBay doesn't list, that Craigslist doesn't categorize. There's some things in the mountain Dr. Phil never heard of and Oprah couldn't tell you about. There's some things in the mountain that come directly, straight down from Jehovah God. You won't get them unless you get in the mountain. When last time you been? I've asked you when you've been to church. We play church. I want to know when you've been in the mountain. When the last time you got up off your knees and felt like your prayer actually reached heaven? Oh, this isn't adolescent preaching. You tell me the next time you find an adolescent Bible. Listen to me. If you're saved, we all reading the same Bible. There's no such thing as adolescent principles and adult. But listen to me. Listen, if I'm saved today, I got just as much right into the holies of holies as somebody else. And I'm going to ask you, when's the last time you prayed or you preached or you read or you studied? When's the last time you got along with God and actually felt like you were in his presence? On the mountain, you see the grace of God. Moses said later, when he's talking to, oh God, let me find grace in that sight. You know when you see God's grace so clearly? When you're in the mountain. Yeah, in the mountain. I'm talking about the unmerited favor of God. I'm talking about God's riches at Christ's expense. I'm talking about God giving you what you don't deserve. Listen to me. You can get down to the bottom of the mountain and go walk around and find out Johnny's parents let him do this and Susie's mom lets her wear this and he's got a car and he's got a girlfriend and he's got a job. Listen to me. You find all of that mess and all of those comparisons at the bottom of the mountain. But up in the mountain, it ain't Johnny or Susie or Jimmy or Antoine or Raekwon. Don't leave anybody out. It's not that. When you get up in the mountain, you see there's only one person to look at. It's Jehovah God all by himself. So what he's wearing or where she's going or what they're doing or what everybody else is saying doesn't really matter, because in the mountain I'm so enamored, I'm so astonished, I'm so amazed, I'm so wild about God. Nothing else matters. When's the last time you got maxed out, so fascinated about God that nothing else on TV, on the internet, on your cell phone really matters? And once while you don't turn your cell phone off. I know you feel like you're dropped dead, but you ought to try it. You might just survive it. And once while you don't turn television off. And once while you don't not answer the phone. Every once in a while you get off of Facebook and get off of Twitter. Nobody cares that you just left the bathroom anyway. Every once in a while, you ought to just determine, I'm not talking to anybody. I'm not going anywhere. I don't care about anything. I woke up this morning feeling fine because I woke up with heaven on my mind. And I'm determined by the grace of God. If I don't get through to her, if she doesn't pick up the phone, if I don't see him, if I don't play that, if I don't go there, it really doesn't matter, because Jesus is on the main line and I'm calling him up and telling him what I want. Amen. When's the last time you dialed in and got an answer? By the way, the grace of God has never been amplified any louder than when he who knew no sin became sin for us. that we might be made the righteousness of God. Hey, listen, when you get up in the mount of God, you know what God reminds you? He reminds you of a mountain called Calvary. And he reminds you that I bankrupt heaven and sent my only begotten son to hang and bleed and to suffer for the sins of mankind. And maybe what's wrong with our teenagers today is they're looking for joy and entertainment and excitement in things and people and processes. And they forget that the true joy is in a relationship with Almighty God through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe you could just stand a trip to the mountain to just be reminded of how much it took to save your wretched soul. Amen. The grace of God in the mountain. The government of God in the mountain. You see, when Moses got in the mountain, he received the law of God. In the mountain, God tells you what he wants you to hear. And he tells you what he wants you to. Hey, let me tell you something. You know what? You know what gets exalted when you get in the mountain? The government of God's word. I said the government of God's word. Listen, you're not going to bypass the word of God and be used by God. Nobody ever did, and you won't be the first. You know what, I'm looking for? I'm looking for a teenager who's enamored with the word of God. I'm looking for a teenager who loves to read the word of God. I'm looking for a teenager who demonstrates the word of God, who reads it, who memorizes it, who studies it, who meditates on it, who obeys it, who esteems the word more than its necessary food, who takes the word as a lamp to his feet and a light into his path, who knows that the word, in the word, everything that the word says is right, who knows that the word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, who knows that the word sanctifies him because the word is true. I'm looking for somebody who delights in the word, in the law of the Lord, and who's planted like a tree by the rivers of water, who's not in the city of the scornful, who's not running with the simple, who's not running with the sinners, but who finds a joy out of the word. Listen to me. When you get in the mountain, you're enamored with the grace and the government of God. The glory of God. The aura of God's presence that Moses saw on the mountain. It must have been amazing. Can you imagine the presence of God in that mountain? No, I know this is not teenage friendly, but you know, every once in a while it do your youth pastor good to find somebody to come to church and say, "Preacher, I know this doesn't sound normal, but I got up this morning and I talked with God. And I felt and saw his glory." You know, we judge our Christianity by how many tracts we pass out, how long our culottes are. You can be on your way to hell in culottes. You can be on your way to heaven and act like and look like you're on the way to hell in culottes. And by the way, I'm for modesty. Amen. So is God. But my friend, if all we're doing is going through the motions of Christianity and there's no depth in our relationship and our true devotion in Almighty God, then we're nothing more than sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. And every once in a while, it's good to see a teenager who dresses right, who walks right, who talks right, who looks right, but who also has a passion and a love for God that cannot be faked or manufactured. My friend, you don't have to put it on or put it off. There's something about the love of Jesus. When it's there all the time. It's hard to find. It's hard to find. Whether you're in California or Washington, D.C., it's hard to find. And by the way, we as youth pastors, we settle for good kids. Oh, they're not that bad. At least our kids don't listen to them. You want at least kids or you want at best kids? I want to see boys and girls leave a youth conference and determine if it's a year from now before I'm ever in a conference like that. I don't have to wait till I get back to West Coast next year to see the grace of God, to see the government of God, to see the glory of God, to see the goodness of God in my car, in my closet, in my room, in my school, in my home. If I just take a good old-fashioned trip to the mountain, I can be in God's presence. It's real. Secondly, it's not only someone who's been in God's presence. Secondly, it's someone who has a burden for people. Moses, get thee down. What's going on, Lord? The people that thou broughtest up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They've turned aside quickly. Let me alone, that my wrath may destroy them. Here's God letting Moses in on the fact, I'm fed up with Israel. I'm tired of it, had enough. Hey, Moses, I'm getting ready to destroy Israel. Watch this now. But Moses had such a burden for people. Listen to me. He stood in between the wrath of God and God's people and said, no. Let me ask you a question. Who are you blocking from God's wrath? Do you care? I tell our teenagers all the time, most Christian kids are self-proclaimed Christian commentators. They just take notebooks around and they document everything that's wrong in the world. Well, with God, me and my family, we don't go here, we don't go to the movies, we don't wear this, we don't watch that. Oh, no, I would never, like, ever do that. And, oh, look at his hair and look at those piercings. Ugh. Oh my goodness. Oh, look at those tattoos. No tattoos. And oh, and look at that. Wrong version of the Bible. And looks like, oh, she's got on some tight clothes. And oh, look at him. His pants are like sagging off his backside. Oh my gracious. That is like totally disgusting. Does he know that that's not all it's cracked up to be? But anyway, oh, and look at there. Look at that youth group that got off the bus. We would never wear that. Oh, no, not at our church. We make sure that we measure everything we wear before we leave for the youth conference. Ambassadors for Christ, remember? And we just take, listen, and we take our little notepads around and we go around and tell all the problems that's wrong in the world. And at my school, oh, I just like have to like just like take a paper bag with me because all of the sickness in the school, it's like, ugh. And it's just like I can hardly ever make it and my soul is screwed. Let me ask you a question. Do you think you're spiritual because you're able to detail what's going on in the world? Big whoop. Chocolate chip cookie for you. Oh, this world is so dark. The public school is so dark. The television is so dark. The internet is so dark. The magazines are so dark. Rap music, dark. Rock music, dark. Pop music, dark. CCM, dark. Everywhere I go, it's just dark, dark. Kenny Baldwin, dark. You know, just everything, everywhere I go, just everything happens is just dark, dark, dark. Well, hey, listen to me. We already know that. Jesus said when he left, the world is dark, but God give us boys and girls who won't just sit around with a note every once in a while. Put your notebook down and determine if it's dark. Turn the light on. Turn the light on. We already know the world is dark, but we know the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to leave this conference. Leave your notebook. Leave your pad. Leave your pharisaical, sanctimonious, hypocritical, stuck up in your lofty perch attitude at the old and go back home and boom shaka laka laka laka, turn the light on. Anybody can commentate. Who's doing something about it? God hates sin. Whose punishment are you blocking? You care enough about your generation to stand in the way of God's wrath in them? God help us get some boy and girl to lead this conference convinced that God hates sin enough to destroy it and burden enough to say, I'll get interested, I'll get involved, I'll get interceding, I'll invest my life. You know why? Because I can't stand to know that God's going to wipe out my generation and I do nothing about it. Now, maybe you don't understand that, but I go to bed every night feeling the heat of that. That grips me. I stand at a conference, not sitting here tonight thinking, can I make them laugh or they like, sitting here thinking, can I somehow convey in adequate fashion to these boys and girls that God doesn't play. Sin's not like vegetables are to me, just to God. God can't stand sin. He's never been tainted with sin. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He's a just God. He's a pure God. Amen. Listen to me. And he can't, listen, there's only so much he can take. It's about time somebody said, my school is messed up. My job is messed up. My friends are messed up. My family is messed up. And before God wipes them out, I've got to go, oh God, no, wait a little longer. Let me get back home to that school, to that job. And do something first. Moses is back. Oh God, don't do it. I care. Do you care? I'm afraid that most teenagers think, why care about people going to hell if I'm not? Because if it were not for the grace of God, you would be. Yeah, that's right. And every once in a while, you ought to go back to the filling station where God loaded you up and just get reminded about how broke you were when God saved you, how dead you were when God saved you, how lost you were when God saved you. Listen to me, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Let me tell you something, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so the death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, but thank God that God sent forth his son, and that he hung and he bled and he suffered for the sins of mankind. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm heaven bound, not because of me, but all because of God. Amen. Do you care? A burden for people. Thirdly, somebody's got to come down off the mountain who's not only has been in God's presence, who has a burden for people. But number three, somebody who's bold in his position. Moses, they acting a fool down there. Yeah, God, I understand. What's that sound? I hear music. That's not war music. That's not funeral music. They're partying down there. Now, if Moses had been the average teenager, he'd have gone, I know it's wrong, but I don't really like to get involved in stuff that's not my business. You know, my name is Bennett, and I ain't in it. You know, I don't really want to, I don't want to ruffle anybody's face. Yeah, they talk like that at my school, and they listen to, and they get in the locker room and say, but, I don't want to, I just kind of stay out of it. Can you imagine Moses getting down at the bottom of the mountain going, now, guys. No calves. How about this? I love you guys. I just love you. I love you. I love you. I love. Yeah. And I've got a little poll here, and just take one and pass it around, and you just write on there, just what kind of worship style you want. If you want your Christian rap, and you want your Christian rock and roll, and you want your gospel gangstas, and wiki, and you want your little praise and worship, just kind of feel, just write down on your little ballot what you want to have, because I'm Moses, and God told me that it's whatever down here, as long as you got a good heart, just worship, just get your groove on for the Lord, and just. Can you imagine Moses? No, Moses landed down at the bottom of the mountain. He didn't tiptoe through the tulips. He didn't lollygag through the lilies. He didn't patty cake his way through the petunias. He landed down at the bottom of the mountain. He didn't say, I love you. I care about you. Y'all cute little things worshiping that calf. He landed down at the bottom of the mountain. Boom!
Hey, who is on the Lord's side? God, give us some kids with some guts. Amen.
Every once in a while, you got to go to one of them dirty conversations at your school and walk in the middle of it. Boom. Dun, 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 dun. Who's on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? You start making people make a choice, they'll make one. When they get in your car, ask them if they're on the Lord's side. When they want you to spend the night over the house, ask them if, when that old bucko talking about he likes you, want to be your boyfriend, retarded for a living, when he wants you to date him, ask him if he's on the Lord's side. You see, it doesn't matter what he drives or where he goes or how much he makes your heart go pitter-patter or hubba-hubba. It really doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it's whether or not he's on the Lord's side. And it's about time some kids didn't worry about being cute or cool or popular or maintaining some image, but they just land down no matter how depraved or how much debauchery seems to permeate their society. They land down in the midst of a mess and ask the simple question, who is on the Lord's side? Amen. There's a statement and there's a stance. Who's on the Lord's side? Watch this now. Who's on the Lord's side? Notice what he said. Let him come unto me. In other words, he didn't say who's on the Lord's side, make a profession. Say, who's on the Lord's side? Make a move.
Amen.
Your Christianity is not your statement, it's your stance. Yeah. Who's on the Lord's side? That's what invitation time is. Some people go to the altar every Sunday and go back home just as much a devil as they were when they came to the altar. You know what I'm telling you? Say amen. Amen. You know why? Because all they're doing is saying, I'm on the Lord's side. I'm on the Lord's side. Why? Because I've got a bracelet that says WWJD. That doesn't make you on the Lord's side. Let him come hither. Let him, hey, if you're on the Lord's side, stand there. I tell our teens, I say, every once in a while, we ought to have a conference and fill out no decision cards. They think I'm crazy. I thought we want a decision. Yeah, I said, but some of you fill out one every conference. Well, yeah. I'm going to be pure until I got married. You said that last year and the year before and haven't done it yet. I'm surrendering to preach. Where are you going to school next year? Oh, I'm going to the secular. Yeah. I love God. How do you love God? Because I got a bunch of invitation cards that say I love him. For real? Who's on the Lord's side? Hey, let me tell you something. I tell our kids, some of you need to quit filling out cards. Quit surrendering. Quit rededicating. You've been saved 13 times. 14 is not a charm. All right? You just need to quit getting saved. Quit surrendering. Quit filling out a card and just get up off the altar. Go back to school. Go back to your neighborhood. Go back to your ball team. Go back to your job. Go back to your generation and live for God 4 weeks in a row, 3 months in a row, 6 months in a row, 1 year. And after you show us where you stand, we'll fill out the card for you. Let your life be a commitment card. Who's on the Lord's side? Write your name. No, who's on the Lord's side? Come here. Come here. We'll not know the effect of this meeting till we get home.
That's right.
Well, we had packed altars. We always do. I had kids crying. They cried during VeggieTales. That doesn't mean anything. You know how many people watch The Passion of Christ that cried that aren't saved? The writer of it's a Catholic. We cry because we're emotional. But we live for God when we're committed.
Who's on the Lord's side? Everybody that went to the altar is on the Lord's side. Hogwash, dog poop, bird mess, cow manure. Not everybody that goes to the altar is on the Lord's side. You know who's on the Lord's side? Those that take a stand. You know who's on the Lord's side? Those that are pure. You know who's on the Lord's side? Those that will read their Bible. You know who's on the Lord's side? Those that will sow in. You know who's on the Lord's side? Those that will be faithful to church. You know who's on the Lord's side? Those who end up at Bible college next fall. Who's on the Lord's side? Let your statement be indicative of your stand. God give us somebody that's bold enough to say so. Lastly, who's on the Lord's side? It's about time somebody came down off the mountain who's been in God's presence, who's burdened for people, who's bold in his position. And then lastly, who's built for progress. Hey, Moses, after you weed out the fakes and the phonies, don't forget, you got to get to Canaan. And these folks need somebody to lead them there. You know what Canaan is for the Christian? It's the will of God. It's the place of spiritual blessing. It's walking into the inheritance that God already has reserved for you. That's Canaan. It's not a geographical location. It's a place. It's the center of God's will. It's what Brother Schmidt talked about. It's when who you are meets with why you are. You know where you end up in Canaan. And it doesn't matter whether you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or you're popular. When you're in Canaan, there's milk and honey, and it's something that God gave you. You don't need anything from anybody else. You know what America needs? Some teenagers that know how to get to Canaan. Hey, Moses, get off the mountain. Why? I got Canaan for them, and I want you to take them. Let me ask you a question. You got directions? I tell our teenagers all the time, some of you live in Smurf world. La, 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 la. Hey, man, what's going on? I don't know. What's been going on in your life? I'm just chilling, for real. Where are you going to school? I don't know. What you want to be when you go? I don't know. What kind of girl you want to marry? I don't really know. What you think? I think you're stupid. You know. But there's somebody out there that'll match you. I haven't taught. Y'all feel left out over here. Y'all stupid too. No. I mean, how often you run into a teenager that actually has directions? Yeah. Right. Who wants to get in the car with somebody that says, "All right, we're going to Six Flags. You know where you're going?" No, but they told me it was up, down there, the way, through the corner, around the way, down through the way. Just listen for a seventh grade girl screaming, and you know. That may not be Six Flags. It may be like something decent that she's screaming about. God help us find some kids that have direction. It breaks my heart that the leaders in our youth groups are the kids that go in the wrong places. And the simple kids get in the car with them. Hey, Moses, Aaron's a good guy, but he can't do it. You better get back and get that thing in order. He didn't even thrown the earrings off and made a cap, and now he's lying. We just threw the earrings off, and all of a sudden, voila, the thing just popped out. Aaron, you good, but you ain't that good. Come on, brother, man. We grew up together. I know it ain't pop out like that. You're not good. You're just supposed to be talking, all right? You're not creating calves. Moses, well, I'm enjoying it, Moses, but that's not all that there is. There's a generation of people at the bottom of the mountain that have a destination that I have determined for them. Amen. And I want you to lead them there. By the way, you can't take someone to his destiny if you haven't found your own.
That's why you need to be careful about trying to date so fast when you don't even know what you're going to be. Man, I saw a cute girl here, man. I was like, man, that is for me. No, she reads, she writes, she has a job, she's pretty. She can't be for you, all right? It's not even logical. I mean, that's counting the supernatural hand of God. Be careful about wanting to take somebody somewhere when you don't know where you're going. Moses, lead him to Canaan. He said in chapter 33, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which I brought out of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham to Isaac. You know what you need to do when you get back home? You need to get back home and head to Canaan, and by the grace of God, take somebody with you.
Amen. Amen.
Our youth groups are famished for leadership.
Right.
They're parched for direction. Hey, guys, you know what girls are looking for? Godly guys.
Amen.
Man, wait till she finds out how much I'll put up in the weight room. You know how to get a hold of God? Do you know how to answer questions about the Word of God? That's what she's looking for. Somebody who's been up in, somebody who knows God by personal experience, not whose parents knew God. Starving for it. And our prayer to God, my prayer, and I know the prayer of everyone in charge here, is that out of this meeting, we get kids who've determined. Hey, listen, this right here is wonderful, but it's not the crux of Christianity. If you have to wait to a revival meeting or a youth conference to find God, you don't know the God of this Bible. And I'm so glad I don't have to wait till the lights come on and the opening song and a conference to get God. I can get him all by myself. And some of you don't experience that kind of God. You live off of revivals and conferences, and they're great. But what they're designed to do is to propel you into a personal relationship so that what you see in 2 days enamors you so much that you're determined to have it for 365.
Yeah.
And 66 on the leap year. Gotcha. And I look at kids who go to Christian school, graduate, and act like they've never been in church. What happened? They quote scripture, they sang in choir, they went to youth conference, they got a whole stack of commitment cards. Casualty. You know why? They've never been in the mountain for themselves. They just read somebody else's experience. That sounds good. Yeah, amen. Glory to God. Take a hanky out and just wave it. Why are you waving the hanky? I don't know. They said that's what they do. Well, you better quit trying to wave the hanky and find out what they were waving it for.
Amen.
Amen. There could be times you won't be able to find a hanky, but thank God you can find him.
Amen.
That's what happens when you get to the mountain. Get a burden for people. A bold position. You're built for progress. You're not only going somewhere, but you're taking someone with you. Somebody has got to come down off the mountain. The question tonight is, how about you?
Thank you for listening to this Student Ministry 127 podcast. For more sermon resources, visit preaching.lancasterbaptist.org. And for information about West Coast Baptist College, visit wcbc.edu.